A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Do we have to?
I think we might have to. Welcome to the Match Ball. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael and Mosco with you here on the live stream for the YouTube for the TSB Plus subscribers. Right then, talk to me.
Should Heckingbottom go after that performance? Should Warnock go? I don't know. It was not very Bielsa-ish, was it?
Worst one under his leadership, you've got to say that. As a starting point, haven't you? That was terrible. I mean, zero shots on target says a lot.
Not even in, there wasn't a shot near target, was there? No. I think there was the Jack Harrison one that got blocked. That looked vaguely promising for about a second.
Put some respect on Tyler's name. End of the first half.
That one that went at about 5 yards high and wide.
It was one, though.
It was one.
It was the first one as well, with 5 minutes before half time.
It's one of those sort of broken record things, isn't it? Because we understand, I think, mostly why what's happened today happened, in that we were missing all our good players, basically, and we can't mitigate for that. We were in the weaker formation playing against two forwards, so that always makes us worse, doesn't it? And yet, still, it's not good enough, is it?
But I mean, you say we're without good players, but Rodrigo's meant to be a good player.
No, shit, isn't he, though? That's the problem.
It turns out he's awful.
There's absolutely nothing to suggest he's a good footballer. But he's got good skills.
No, how many
times has he tried that little turn like on the spin and got caught in possession? So if that's not working, do something else. So that's all I'm suggesting. And for the price that we paid for him, I think we're within our rights to expect better. Would you agree?
Well, yes. I mean, 22 touches today as well. I looked it up.
Right.
Which isn't many in a full game of football, is it? So, I mean, even Forshaw came off the bench, and while he looked like a player who's not played for a couple of years, at least he was involved somewhat. Like, he was giving the ball away sometimes, and generally speaking, if he'd have been starting a game and playing like that, I'd have been saying it was pretty awful, to be honest. But the fact he came on and was at least stood in the right place, he was stood in that little hole where no one had
been. That hole being midfield.
Yeah, the whole of midfield. There was a bit in the first half, in fact, where I think we'd hit a ball forward and someone won a header and the ball just dropped into an enormous vacuum of space in the middle of the pitch, and it was like, oh, is anyone going to go into that space at any point?
It'll be Southampton
and then,
again.
And then eventually a Southampton player, who, in fairness, they had no one in there either, but eventually someone stepped in and was like, oh, okay, if I'm allowed to just have the ball here.
And that's the thing with the man-to-man thing. If there's not necessarily anybody like looking for space all the time, is there, when you're in transition like that? Like, you're either stood near your man, marking your man man-to-man, or you're not, I guess. But just to finish off the thought about sounding like a broken record or throwing a pen around, I was going to say it just returns us back to all the same problems we know about. Threadbare squad, we can't accommodate injuries, we can't accommodate the loss of Phillips, all that stuff that we know and we've been complaining about. I say we, I don't mean us necessarily, just us, but everyone as a fan base, all those anxieties that we had throughout the early part of the season. The problem I've got at the minute is we're not getting any better, and you would hope that there'd be some sort of upward trajectory in the season.
I mean, we were good against Watford, I will say, but then we were good with our best players, weren't we?
And with the best will in the world, Watford are shite.
But Southampton...
Southampton are shite, but look how easily we dropped down to a very, very low level.
I think what was concerning today, we kind of know about the problems of no Rafinha and no Phillips, and that leaves us really weak. But weird things were going on today. Like, Jack Harrison had no first touch, and
Stuart Dallas. How many times did Dallas get caught in possession?
Still awful. Click, put it out of play a couple of times. Just really simple passes that he's just knocking out. Like the most basic things that we know these players can do, and it was all just going wrong.
Mosco, you're very quiet over there. Come on, join in.
I don't think there's much need for me
You're the positive one, and it's noticeable exactly. That you're very quiet.
I think it's it's understanding what the listener may wish, or the viewer may wish for at this time. Continue.
Tell us about Tyler Roberts.
No, don't, because it's that's fucking boring as well.
Yeah, it is.
I'm bored of that, because he did Tyler Roberts. There were moments where he looked great. There were moments when you thought, what are you doing? But you could say that of any of them.
Well, there weren't many moments when many of them looked great.
Tyler Roberts, though, is a perfect example of just being the lightning rod for the anxieties that we were talking about, all the stuff that we're lacking, you know, squad depth, quality, people to bring off the bench. It all kind of manifests itself. If you had to put it in human form, it's probably Tyler Roberts, isn't it? I mean, like the fact that with the subs today as well, I know everyone's kind of, it's getting to, put Eddie in and play the kids territory, but even still, the fact that, you're bringing Gelhart off the bench and Somerville in a Premier League game to try and get back into it doesn't suggest that your squad has a right huge amount of depth. But if that's the policy, is to build youth and blood it, then fine. Let's just hope we've got enough to stay in the Premier League, because on today's evidence, we are in a world of trouble.
We are, but we do have Rafinha and Phillips. We do need to remember that. And with them, that the game probably has a different shape. You can't, whether or not that undoes everyone else playing terribly. Jamie Shackleton was all right. Let's focus on a positive. I don't feel he deserves much more praise than saying he was all right, because it was not great. But the other things were bad. Like the whole defence was bad as well. Like Llorente and...
But jump in on you, but I was going to say, it goes back to what we said this on the Phil Hay show the other day, that 3-3-1-3, that always gives me room for anxiety, because we're never as good with it when you're up against two players who are pressing you and closing you down. And that's one thing. They absolutely murdered us with the press today. We just couldn't pass it out, could we? We had no out ball in midfield, for one thing. And then every time we got it into wide areas, they just shut us down, and we either then lumped it, or one thing that we did do very well was pass it back to Melier a lot.
But it's because he was the only person shown for a pass out of defence. The defence kept, they'd knock it between themselves for a little while, and then once they were pressed, there was no forward pass available to them, because there was no midfield, so they had to go backwards. And then by the time it went backwards, the three defenders were all marked, so Melier had no option but to just twat it up the field.
The only positive I can take from today is it's still only mid-October, and we've got lots of games in front of us where we will have Phillips and Rafinha and so on and so forth to dig ourselves out of this hole, because it needs to start happening, and it needs to start happening pretty quickly. Because I was laughing, wasn't I, at the start of the game today, that, the follow song, that that's listing basically all the knackered and injured players now, isn't it? Come on, Moscow. This isn't a... there's only two wheels operating on this tricycle at the minute. Get on board.
Yeah, we were terrible. Do you want a butt?
Go on.
I think the butts are very important, yes.
You remember how Southampton play and how they played us against us last season. I wasn't worried at half time, because it's exactly how both games went against them last season, where they made us look diabolical in the first half, particularly at Elland Road. Difference at Elland Road was we came out, scored straight after half time, and won 3-0. And Hassan Hurdle has described himself before. He said that he believes the opposite to Bielsa. He predicted about this game. He said it's going to be a horrible match to watch. It's going to be lots of tackles and lots of second balls and mistakes.
Well, it was half right, because it was terrible for us to watch.
Yeah, but you should bear in mind, I was reading about them before this game, so it stuck in my mind that they kept Manchester City down to their worst number of shots on target, one in a match since 2017, in their 0-0 draw a few weeks ago. And City in that match could barely get out of their own half. Raheem Sterling played Rodrigo's role and completed, I think he was 16 passes, which I don't know how the passes for Rodrigo or Roberts when they were up there compares. But they do this to teams, and they drew with Scum. They were 1-1 with Chelsea until they had Ward-Prowse sent off. And it's very much...
But they're not very good, Moscow. They're not very good.
No, but they're very good at stopping teams like City. I'm putting ourselves in that bracket, but they're very good at stopping Manchester City. Like, they were... they completely perplexed and destroyed Pep Guardiola's game plan. He said as much afterwards, that Southampton had had the week to prepare and turned it into a whinge about having to play in the Champions League during the week before then. But yeah, that's the third time Southampton have played like that against us. We've beaten them the two previous times. Today, we were worse than the two previous times. But you can't discount the impact that Rafinha would have helped, wouldn't he? I mean, Rafinha made Brazil better this week, so can't say that he wouldn't have made today better, and a Pat Bamford might have helped, a Calvin Phillips could have helped in midfield, although he would probably have been playing as a part of the back three. Firpo, perhaps, because then we have Dallas could have played in midfield and less of the foresureness that we had to rely on, and then needing to bring Joffe and Somerville off the bench. I looked at the team when it was announced, though, and thought that's still good enough to win. So the fact that we didn't win isn't good enough. Are the only things.
I didn't think it was good
enough. The only things I would, you don't win a prize. the only things.
You do in my heart, Michael, you do.
The only things.
You've got my respect.
Point out is that there was another team on the pitch, and they played the way they play magnificently. Mm. Like, they absolutely did it to the utmost, to the best.
So well done, Southampton. We're here to tell you how good you were. Great.
Well, yeah, I mean, they won the game, so you can't really say they were terrible, can you?
LUFC data leads saying that Leeds had a first half XG of 0.01.
I think that's a little unfair on Robert Schott.
I mean, presumably the XG is taking account of the previous shots that has seen Roberts take there, because he's not ever threatened, has he? Even from closer in.
I knew it wasn't going to be a good day, even when I saw David Coote was the ref.
I mean, he was fine, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's just got that face.
Can have no complaints about him, to be honest. The bookings all were fair enough.
And that first half, as I saw Melier, he was behind that goal there. I've got the sun in his eyes. Maybe he should have won a baseball cap. It all felt wrong from the get-go.
I'm going to blame the sun for that. Just speaking of days when weird things go wrong, when there was that long ball forward and Stroik just let it hit his legs and fell over backwards, and you just sort of thought, this is like the player that we've been told is coming to save us from Cooper. And then actually Cooper was probably the better of the three centre-backs today, because Llorente was having a bit of a mad one as well, charging around all over the place and then hacking that bloke down on the edge of the box.
Oh, fucking boy, is Ralph Hasenhuttl dressed as? It looks like he's going to a Scottish wedding.
Well, it's working. He's obviously getting the respect.
Well, he's got all of one win on the board this season, admittedly against us, which is a bit disappointing, but no better than us, is he? Well, apart from the table.
Apart from today.
And the table.
And the table, yeah.
But apart from that.
If we discount all the factual bits, yeah, you're right, there's nothing.
Give me something then. I'm just looking through my notes here, and it's not pretty reading. Bielsa's 150th game in charge.
Jesus, deserve better, didn't he?
Maybe he should have got us to do better.
Yeah, I mean, there was that. I mean, going back to the lineup, I did see it and think, oh shit.
Yeah.
I don't like...
But that's the really annoying thing about today. Like, so we were in the car driving here, weren't we, when the lineups were announced? I just picked up Moscow and heard the team news, and I thought, oh well, I can pretty much write this one off as an enjoyable day then, on balance of probabilities, because we're just not that good in that formation as it is. And when you've got so many blooming...
I'm sure you two both arrived saying we were going to win.
Yeah, but again, there's no prize for being pessimistic. Tell him, Moscow.
I bought a fiver on us to win, so yeah, I thought we'd win, but then I always do. That's a bad habit.
Let me have a look then. So I put down 39 minutes, actual chance, which tends to indicate what one-way traffic we were enduring during that game. That was James, wasn't it? But he did
us.
That. That's when Dan James had that run, but then he put in quite a poor cross, I think.
That was not a chance. I've just realised what that was. That was when Dan James ran down the right, and then it ended up with him crossing the ball straight into McCarthy's hands.
25 million well spent.
Not a chance. And then that's not a chance.
Robert's shot. I don't know if that's an instruction or what he actually
that's
did.
That's the one he did it twice towards the end of the first half, when he got the ball and turned and ran. But one of them he shot. And he it was, if you want something rather than just the same old gloom, but then, yeah, admittedly, I tried before and you didn't like it. the bit before they scored, we were doing better in the period after half time and before conceding those brief, was it 10 minutes? And it was, they broke from a counter attack just after half time because we were starting to put some pressure on. In that little spell, Tyler Roberts looked decent and was helping us move forward, because he was the only player who seemed able to turn. Dan James had that one good run that you referenced where he had to hurdle somebody trying to take his legs off after he'd tackled their right back and then ran forward. Roberts was linking up pretty well. Jackie, I thought, was awful, like summed up by when he took the quick pass to Forshaw late in the second half and just gave it straight to them. But after we had that good 10 minutes, and you know, you can't dress up good 10 minutes as anything more than what it is. That's when we started to make the changes. So then Roberts went up front and then obviously had less impact. He turned into Rodrigo from earlier in the game. So we brought on Gerhard and moved him back to where he'd been reasonably effective for about 5 minutes. And then that didn't work. So then Somerville came on for him and they'd all unraveled from there. So the one little bit that was all right for a few minutes when I thought, oh, we could sneak this. But once they'd scored, I mean...
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. 51 minutes, I made the note, Jackie dancing feet, because he had that little chance on the edge of the box.
That was the other good bit, yeah. So Jackie was terrible apart from that.
Well, he tried to...
He did very well. It was a really good block.
Yeah, he tried to get through on the left, but was blocked.
Was blocked. So he did get a shot away. It was just a very good block after some good skill.
And then we went forward again, 52 minutes, lost possession because it was just shite, wasn't it? That little bit of interplay on the right-hand side didn't work. It broke down and then they just hit us on the break. I would love to see a replay of where Llorente was positionally for that when they hit us on the break, because we only saw him twat into the man right at the end.
You should take a screenshot of where they were for a lot of the game, because even at 0-0, they had 11 behind the ball and the whole game was in their half, which is exactly where they like it. So just putting that back into the Southampton were good on their terms ledger, that their game plan of having the whole... It's even... We saw this on whoscored.com's description of their style of play before the game. They're good at set pieces, that's the thing they're good at, but style of play in their own half and make you no, it's the other way around, play in your half. No, which way?
Absolutely. Razor sharp analysis.
Play in their own half, that's right. And then you can't get out. No, they play in your half.
This has been the best thing about today.
Maybe Bielsa's read the same thing and he got confused too.
That's it.
Wasn't sure what he was doing.
They play in the opposition's half.
Right.
No. Fucking have lost.
Shut up.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Anyway, Adam Forshaw came on, and that's good.
So he's
still going, isn't he?
He didn't get injured, did he?
No.
Which is good.
But again, I mean, he did some nice bits, just like you said, was in the game.
It was just that he was just stood where a midfielder needed to be for the entire match.
But and also, at moments, looked like he'd been out for 2 years.
Yeah, even though he went there and occasionally did a bad job of it, at least there was someone there doing it, whereas the rest of the game was Llorente and Cooper just looking for someone to pass to, and there being absolutely no one there. And
Joffe came on as well, that's nice.
Yeah, he had one really nice touch. He took down a throw-in very nicely, kind of turned and then a nice cushion touch, then I think gave it away.
Great.
More than Rodrigo did. My notes, you're saying, what else can we talk about? One of my notes simply says, Rodrigo, Christ. And I don't think that's praise either.
Southampton style of play.
Oh, great.
Control the game in the opposition's half.
Right.
Did that happen?
Yes, because we couldn't get out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's pressing, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. Great. So well done, Who Scored, for being accurate for once.
Mm-hmm. And well done for you for almost remembering what whoscored.com said.
Which is somebody else's research and statistics. Well then, what do we pull from this? I've run out of material now. Normally there was something to talk about, but it's just that's so laughably bad, isn't it? It just, I don't know. I mean, maybe I was saying about being a broken record and the anxieties and stuff. It just, when this keeps happening and we keep milling around down at the bottom, here. It just, it's how it's reframing the season. And already I'm not enjoying this season at all. And it's going to have to turn around pretty quickly to just even become comfortable. And I don't like that. It's not what I'm a football fan for. We've had our struggles. Now's our time to have fun.
It feels like it's a game that requires a big follow-up. Like, we can't be anything other than excellent, I don't think, in the next game. Otherwise, people are going to start seeing it as a pattern.
And that's the thing.
And you will look at it and you'll go, well, they've only beaten Watford, and Watford are awful.
Yeah,
so that's
pressure,
why.
Pressure builds, doesn't it? That's the thing. And this is what happens when you get down here and you go without wins. But, I mean, the other thing is that another win does push you massively up the table still.
Yeah, it does.
So, because there's a lot of shite down here, but it's just not fun, is it, this season at all? It feels like another one. We've just got to get through this. We can get to the summer, and then it's another. At what point do we start to enjoy this? I enjoy it briefly towards the back end of last season, but this is bollocks, isn't it?
Just this bit that we can actually go and
just
watch.
Sign a midfielder and we could have all been happier. And
I mean, a midfielder would have helped. I know it's boring. Sorry, but it is.
Yeah, I'm not sorry,
but we do need a midfielder.
You're choosing to watch this or listen to this.
Yeah.
Never going to apologise for making the point that's right.
But yeah, we have been for ages crying out for another midfielder. Like, what if Calvin did break his leg? I know he's going to be back probably for the next game, but if he was out for the season, what the fuck do we do? Like, it would be such a massive issue for us, and I don't think it's acceptable to just have it hanging there, that if one player is out, you basically don't have another backup plan. And because we've seen Cock, who's also injured, play there. We've seen Strike play there, and neither of them are actually very good at it. So stay fit, Calvin.
Yeah, it feels like that one is hanging on by, not by a thread, because he's not like on the verge of a massive breakdown, we hope, or anything like that. But you just worry, don't you? If he was to be ruled out, what that would signify. Anyway, we've heard from Captain Cooper anyway. I've just seen the official account tweet an interview with him, which I haven't listened to yet.
We go again.
But something like that. You can't go giving first half performances away like that. We've got to learn from it. What about the second half? That wasn't much better, was it?
Couldn't fit that into the tweet. He may have said something. You never know.
Fair point. It'd be interesting to see in what way Bielsa takes this on his own shoulders today, because he does every time, and he will. What will he make of that and take from it?
I actually don't know. I think he's got to be disappointed with some of the performances there. As much as I did look at it on paper and think that's not a team that's going to win this, I also think it's unacceptable that Jack Harrison can't control the ball all of a sudden. And I think Click passed it out of play twice, I think, under no real pressure as well. Just really basic stuff was going wrong.
Yeah, you can't legislate for that, can you, when players can't play football? But then surely you look at that and that's when you say, well, those players are not good enough. Whatever that context is delivered in, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, if we end up 12th, 13th, 14th, whatever it might be this season, it's probably going to end up being job well done, isn't it? So they've been good enough to get us 9th and then there. But it's this flirtation with the bottom end, and therefore the decision-making on a game-to-game basis starts to have a real influence on things, doesn't it? If you can have lots of inconsistent performances or people just kicking it out, it's not helpful.
It's not. It was... I feel like we've not been in this position very often under Bielsa, where we've just had nothing good to say.
No.
But there wasn't anything, was there?
I'm trying to think of the
low points of being like the Derby game, which was obviously a madness, but then there was like Forest where... In fairness, we still created some chances in that game, didn't we? I think. I'm trying to remember. The Wigan game, that was pretty dire. It's certainly up there.
Is this the worst game you think we've played under him, taking everything into account?
It might well be. Moscow?
I mean, we've always had that capability. Well, not always, but it's worth remembering things like... this is taking things into an even darker place. But yeah, it's really worth remembering. Now, as everybody's miserable, let's think back to Wigan and going 1-0 and a player up and losing 2-1 to them. Think about that tonight as you try to put this behind you. Put this game behind you by thinking about all the other times Leeds have been terrible. I mean, we were awful against Forest on that famous one, and that was off the back of a fairly dour run of not winning games for ages. So it's not unheard of, but I think it was all... lost in the euphoria of promotion, whereas I think that's part of the reason why there is not much relief to be found out of this one, is because there won't be the euphoria of a promotion at the end of it. Even if we go and win every game between now and the season, we probably still can't win the Premier League if that happened. can we? Because
I mean, we're probably finishing the Champions League spots, and that'd be quite good.
That'd be quite good, but it's unlikely, isn't it? So even if we go on and have a really good rest of the season from now, that euphoria won't ever come. So it's just kind of like, yeah, it is just a defeat in a void.
I think so, back to
enjoy your weekend
to Bielsa's first game when you.
I mean, people don't want me to be too cheerful.
That's true. I enjoy the idea.
I enjoy the idea that he's having to fight off being cheerful. What an absolute bell end.
The first Bielsa game when you were. Who was it you cornered on the gantry and you were saying to them, "This is the same players who were here at the end of last season, yeah, and look at them now." It feels like this is a reverse of it, where you'd be going, "That's Stuart Dallas. He used to do this stuff, and
and he lost to Forest, and he lost to Wigan, and."
Yeah, it's just I think it was as a collective, though. They looked devoid of ideas and, truthfully, a bit of devoid of energy as well. There was just not the same zip about it. It felt like their pressing was much better than ours. There were so many times when the ball was there to be won for us, and we just didn't get there first. It felt like we were just second to everything, and we were not. It felt like we lacked a bit of fight, which I know is a traditional.
Come and be miserable, Moscow.
I know it is like a traditional Leeds fan response, so they're not fighting for the shirt or whatever, but they didn't seem, I don't think they seemed that arsed.
I sometimes wonder, you know, like we obviously dug into, Cardigan bloke, what's his name?
Scott Parker.
Yeah, we dug him out, obviously, because we saw it as an attack when he suggested we played in organised patterns or whatever it was, or what was it?
Scripted movements.
And it's true to an extent, isn't it? There's almost a little bit of, when it doesn't work, when the plan and the pattern doesn't fall into place, we don't really know what to do. I don't know. That's one observation I have from today.
Yeah, Bielsa's tactics don't leave much room for kind of innovation from the quality of players that we have. There was the Diego Simeone quote last week when he was saying that Bielsa loves nothing more than a player going on the pitch and doing something that he didn't tell him to do. But that's where you're looking at players like Calvin Phillips and Rafinha, even Bamford to an extent now that he's an England international, being big misses, because Rafinha is the one player that you can say is, this is how we play, see what you can do on top of that. Whereas, you know, Somerville in his third substitute appearance is not going to do it, and Tyler Roberts doesn't have the quality of Rafinha that he's going to suddenly pull out loads of, you know, skill on top of the game plan. So he very much sticks to what we're doing. And it was, I don't know if this falls into just excuse category, but Bielsa was referring in his press conference to how difficult it was to train with a team during the international break because of how many players were away and how many players were injured. So he said that there's been a lot of focus on individual improvements, but he was almost saying that it was difficult to get a training session together with like 11 versus 11, a murder ball, you know, dragging Archie Gray out of school to rag him around the training pitch for a while. And when you look at the, I don't know what Jackie Harrison's excuse was, but Click definitely looked as if he'd left his ability to pass on Polish international duty. The quality, we're not just missing a few kind of reserve team players. It's, if you look back at the promotion, and who has been important then, Bamford, Ayling, Phillips, absolutely vital. And then Rafinha is immediately a step up. Junior Firpo is, you know, he was improving against Watford, don't know where he is today, but we paid quite a lot of money for that player to play and he's not there, so.
Yeah, I know. And that's, it goes back to what we said at the start, isn't it? We know about the injuries and we know how much we rely on those players. But that doesn't excuse the performance of the players that were out there.
Yeah, I do still offer that. I think we should have beaten them today. I think we had enough good players out there. It may just be a,
Do you want some positivity from Eamon, who does all the design work for us? Mm. I just noticed his tweet.
Don't do it. I mean, I know I'm indulging in misery today.
Next season we'll be in the Championship with no Phillips, no Rafinha, no Melier, Phil Hay covering Coventry City, and 20 Leeds podcasts will stop making new episodes. So
we'll still be here.
Yeah,
we didn't play well, says Marcelo. He's got that right.
No way.
He's a genius, isn't he?
But we're just looking at Phillips.
Say it in English.
Phillips hip problem, Firpo muscle injury, and Rafinha 15 hours on that plane. What were they doing on that plane?
I mean, why?
What's that Liverpool twat who flew with him, who was pouring poison into Rafinha's ear?
Well, there's a few, aren't there? Yeah. A few Liverpool players.
Bielsa also says, the defeat was fair. It was justified in the first half. Even though they scored in the second half, we found it difficult to recover the ball in the middle of the park. Evidently, our game didn't look like the one we usually play. Maybe we were not as powerful as the opponent. I didn't get the impression we didn't run to prevent the opponent. I think somebody might have asked him about running stats.
Right.
He felt that there were some improvements after halftime. So me and him,
for those,
are very much in agreement here.
For those 7 minutes.
He says, Tyler Roberts was outstanding. No, he doesn't. It's not that we dominated in that period, but we stopped being dominated in that period.
It's all you can hope for in life, isn't it? To just not be dominated for some period.
Depends what your kink is, doesn't it?
I suppose so. Well, not for me. That's all I'm saying. I didn't enjoy it much.
No, it wasn't, was it? No. I'll tell you what, we'll go away, we'll regroup, we'll...
I have to listen to propaganda's crap when we've lost.
I know. It's what so a stupid idea it was rolling that out.
It was great fun when we were winning games.
Listen to the Hampshire accents.
Aye.
That'd be nice.
So, yeah, there you go. That's the match ball. Done with, isn't it? Back for propaganda.
It's good. Drink yourself into a stupor.
don't do it.
No.
No, I mean, no.
Probably not.
You medicate how you choose to medicate, but...
No, not. just trying to...
Do it sensibly.
Watch a nice film.
Yeah. Think about our other terrible defeats.
Should we wrap it up there then?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Let people go do something else.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, YouTube and audio apps, and we'll return next week. Propaganda, main show, all the fun of the fair. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.